Welcome to Interviews with Entrepreneurs Show, where we interview entrepreneurs who are super awesome in their niches. And guys, RJ here, back again with an amazing guest on our podcast. This story is absolutely amazing. It's all about highs and lows in the journey. Today's guest is Chris Lee. He actually filed bankruptcy of like $2.2 million at the age of 26 when he started out as a young kid, like us, I'm 24 at the moment. So remembering him, how he started his journey and then filed his bankruptcy, went to the lowest of the lowest and then gained to the highest point. He's the founder and chairman of Solgen Power, founded in 2017. Solgen was recently recognized by Financial Times as the sixth fastest growing privately held company in the U.S., employing over 1,000 team members in multiple locations. At the moment, he's considered one of the brightest minds in home service marketing, and he has grown and sold over several different service companies in automation, pest control, alarm, solar industries. We're going to talk about how he actually started out, what actually went wrong, and how he actually recouped and became one of the best. So the big question is this: how these entrepreneurs who started from scratch and had no idea how to sell or market their products or services online, and then later on made over six figures, seven figures, or even eight figures, became best in their niches and found their dream customers to sell. My name is RJ Ahmed, and find this all out in our Interviews with Entrepreneurs show. I interview these entrepreneurs and try to pick their brain of how they actually did that and how they took their business as well as their life to the next level. This podcast is all about the entrepreneurs who strive so hard to become super awesome in their niches. Welcome to Interviews with Entrepreneurs. So, hey, Chris, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going, RJ? Good to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Yeah. Your story is really inspiring, just to see, like, as a young kid, like I'm 24 right now. So hearing your story, like how you started as a young kid, how most people say, having that passion of like getting it all and then filed bankruptcy of almost like $2.2 million, getting to the lows of the lows and then getting back to the highest point. How does highs and lows went for you? How was it like for you at that point?
I mean, it's been a crazy journey. So my entrepreneurial journey has been about 19 years, and it's been all over the board. Like you're talking about, my very first company I launched, we ended up filing bankruptcy and losing everything, car repoed out of my driveway, less than $1,000 in my bank account, to, going and experiencing a couple different nine figure exits. One thing I've learned over the years is you can't get too emotional on either end. You can't get too excited on the highs and too down on the lows. You just kind of keep even keel and keep plugging away.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the most important things that I really love to ask with a lot of people who have a story like that is a lot of listeners who actually listen that feels like that is a motivational story, right? But the person who's actually experiencing on the other side, knows it all. So, like, for you, like, how it actually felt for you when you get that first, like, roadblock of filing the bankruptcy? Like, what was it actually felt for you inside of your mind? Like, what was going on for the kid who was actually looking for to get that success on the other side?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely a lot of anxiety around going through that. Those days were filled full of debt collectors calling and, just a lot of, it felt like just a lot of outside pressure, and the whole world was caving in on me. What had started out as a dream and a passion was quickly becoming a nightmare. And, you tag it on that, I owed people money, that were very close to me, that had invested in the business, and, where I felt pretty alone. And, the one thing I always share is that the thing I quickly realized that the lowest point of my life that I had imagined and fantasized to, typically when you start a business, you think about worst case scenario. You think about, what if, what happens if this thing doesn't work out? And, usually what I call a fantasy, which really it's more of a nightmare, is we imagine it just being absolutely terrible. We have these great monsters in our in our mind that it's, you know, owing people money, filing bankruptcy, it's going to be just absolute terrible thing. And it was, but it actually wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be. And so when you go and you experience that and you realize that your worst case scenario didn't really actually play out, because in my mind, my worst case scenario is living in my in-laws' basement, no job, can't, begging for food, you know, those type of things. Like that's where my mind goes, worst case scenario. And the fact is we didn't even get close to there. We were still able to put food on the table, still able to take care of my family. Yes, all my assets were stripped from me. Yes, I lost a lot of friends and different things and had to start completely over. But at the end of the day, I had my God and I had my family, which are the two most important things to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember like one of the guests that we had on our podcast, he also faced bankruptcy. And one thing that he said was really profound is I had all the things. All I lost was money. That was the only thing I lost. I had all the rest of the things I had with it. And that's the only thing I had to gain back. So that mindset was really powerful. So for you, how you actually made yourself like pull back and be like, okay, now what's going to be my focus just to make sure to avoid things that I've done might not like correctly or like what went wrong actually, so that I can recoup that part in the future when I'm going to be launching a new company. So like how that actually went out then.
Yeah, you bet. So I spent a lot of time self-introspecting as far as like, you know, what worked, what didn't work, what can I learn from this situation? What are the lessons? Because to your point, all I lost was money and the experience was still there. I'd still had the experience in losing millions of dollars, still had the experience of running successful organization that turned sour, you know? And so, there was a lot of lessons that I gained along the way. You know, one of them was, excuse me, little under the weather. But one of the important lessons that I learned was not to do things to impress others. And where my first business was all about like being the business owner, being the man, being the CEO, the king that called all the shots and drove the nice car and did all these things and really was just trying to act the part without doing the part. And, you know, I was doing as much as I could. I was taking a lot of action, but I was more worried about like what others thought about me. I thought more on what my customers thought, like, hey, are we the cheapest in the market? I thought more on what my employees thought. Are we paying the most? You know, are we what my employees think about the car that I'm driving, the place that I live, you know, all kinds of things. And so instead of focusing on building a thriving business, I was focused on building a thriving Chris, and that wasn't a good focus.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So getting rid out of all the possible insecurities that could come in one way or the other, you're kind of like getting rid of all of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Great. So like apart from that, after transitioning, you created your company, which is like Solgen, where now you have actually stepped down as a CEO and you're acting as a chairman. So like how that actually worked out? Did that company was based off your personal passion? Or was that a challenge for you to set that up? So like, how does that actually look like for you in the initial start?
Yeah, for sure. So for me, passion has never been rooted in actual strategy. It's always been rooted in culture. And so, you know, when we started Solgen, although I love the solar industry and I think it's absolutely a remarkable industry to build in, like my passion was never the solar, it was building the people within the company. And so I knew from the very beginning that we wanted to build it to sell, and whether or not we sold it, we always wanted to be in a position to sell. And so ultimately stepping down, so I chose to step down as the CEO earlier this year. I went through some pretty traumatic instances. I had a near-death experience with a drunk driver hitting me head on, coming at me 130 miles an hour. And I had two of my sons in the car that caused me to really rethink things and a variety of different things that took place that ultimately I decided to step away from that business. And initially, you know, I was testing out the retirement waters, and I think I made it about 6 weeks. And I thought this is the worst thing that's ever happened in my life. And, you know, although I had all the money and I had all the experience and I had the great family and life and everything else, like I was lacking passion, lacking something to grow, a culture to build. And so after about 6 weeks, I decided the retirement life wasn't for me. And so now I've reshifted my focus into building what we call the Founder Project, in which I help founders throughout the world focus and build their cultures, their strategies, scale their businesses. And so I've been able to find a lot of passion in that.
Yeah, love it. Since you mentioned culture, which is like, I believe what I've saw in other people as well, which is one of the hardest thing to actually build inside of a company. Like, you can create these SOPs systems, people can come in and do the work and, you know, let go and stuff like that. But building a culture where we're having that sort of thing environment is the hardest thing to actually build. So for you, what you've noticed is a difference between a corporate culture, which is kind of not, it's kind of like a toxic culture that kind of like they've built it, versus a real culture inside of a company. What do you see the pros and cons, or the con of the corporate side of it in general, if you differentiate between of it?
Yeah. So first off, I think culture is like the most important thing that you can establish in an organization. It doesn't matter what size you are. You could be two people, you could be 2,000 people. You know, we built a phenomenal culture that had over 1,000 employees. And the reality is like, it's got to be by design and not default. Most guys don't know how to design their culture. And that's why I've made it my life's passion to actually understand how to build culture. And so, you know, from my first failing business to when I went and worked for other companies for 4.5 years, I studied those CEOs and what they were doing to build remarkable culture. And I've studied from the best books and the best masterminds and the coaches. And, you know, I've spent over $1 million on my personal education, and a lot of that focused on how to build incredible culture. And so I recently wrote an ebook on 11 steps to creating remarkable culture and doing it by design. It's actually, if you head on over to my Instagram, if you click on the link of the bio, it's something that you can buy from
there.
We'll
post it in the description.
What's that?
Yeah, we'll post it in the description and show notes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so I sell that for $29, but basically I outline exactly what we did and what we do to build incredible culture. And a lot of that's focused. You got to start with the end in mind, or like, what is the vision? What is the mission of the business? What do you want to become, and why do you want to become it? Right? Like, yeah. Most guys have goals. Most guys or gals have goals, but they really don't know why they have them. Most of the goals that they have or have been given to them by society. I want to have the nice sports car. I want to have 10 million. I want to have $100 million. Like, why? Like, why do you want to have that? And so really understanding what's behind your goals, then establishing a mission and a vision, then having core values that are affiliated with that, and then going through and establishing a culture of transparency, a culture of trust, a culture of recognition, a culture, you know, and then so in that book, I outline exactly how you build each one of those things and with like real world examples. And so like most people don't know, like I said, most people don't know how to build it. They know when they've experienced a good one and when they've experienced a bad one, because you can feel culture, right? You can feel like, oh, this is a place I want to be. This is where I want to grow. They don't know why. They can't put their finger on it. And so, like I said, that's why I've made it my life passion to understand the why behind it and the how to build it. And so, that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do you really think that is also one of the main reasons why people afraid to get into the corporate side of the world, just because of the toxicity of it, of corporate culture being so toxic, is one of the main reasons why most people just try to stay out of it, or be like their life goal to set out of the corporate world, is also like one of the main reasons why most people actually choose that path?
Well, I think it's a fallacy that just all corporations have a toxic culture. I think I think many large corporate of the large corporate world do, but there's also fantastic cultures that exist, right? Airbnb's culture is fantastic from a corporate standpoint. Apple, the largest company in the world, the reason why they're worth $3 trillion, their market cap's $3 trillion, is because they've established a culture of innovation and dreaming and development and sleekness and everything else. From day one. And there's and Google and Facebook, right? Like these are examples of great corporate culture. So I think it's a fallacy that every large corporation is poor culture. It's just there's poor managers and there's good managers, and the good ones focus on culture.
Amazing. So in your case, a lot of people who actually listen to the podcast are also in their 20s or hustling, working on their stuff, trying to figure out. And most people want everything right away, instant gratification. Why do you think so that actually happened? Since you've already experienced it and now you're a mature person now, even by age and by experience, why do you think so most people are too much into instant gratification? They want everything right away and they're like, just want everything instant. Why do you think so most people actually face that?
Because I think most people design their life off of exceptions to the rules than the rule. And the reality is that the rules that govern entrepreneurship is that the law of the harvest takes time. And you have to work and put roots down for a very long time. And so, and usually if you look at a lot of like the history, like first of all, every story is different. There's no one story that's the same. And so trying to compare yourself against somebody else and say, my story should be like this person, you're just flat out wrong for doing that. Second of all, the stories for the most part show many years of putting down roots before they actually saw results. Right. And so most guys don't experience success until their 40s, 50s, 60s, and even in their 70s. If you look at just history and guys that have done incredible things. But the problem is everybody wants to ignore the rules that actually govern entrepreneurship, and they want to look at the exceptions. They want to look at the Mark Zuckerberg that was a multi-billionaire by age 23 or 24. They want to, look at all this and be like, why is this not happening to me? Well, here's the secret is that Mark Zuckerberg didn't think he was an exception to the rule either. He was willing to live the rule. He was willing to live the law of the harvest, to put roots down, to do the work, to do all the different things. And then if you become an exception to the rule, it's just like, it's an, a certain amount of luck, And so if you want to have success, you've got to be willing to commit the next 10, 20, 30 years to a craft and do it regardless of the results that you receive. Because too many of us, we focus on the fruit, we focus on the end result rather than like, what am I doing today? The principles, the rules, the day in, day out, and falling in love with that. And so because of it, guys get discouraged, right? Like they go running for 30 days and then they're ticked that they haven't lost the 20 pounds that they want to lose. And so then they stop running and then they never lose weight altogether. Right. And so that's really it, is people want to be exception to the rule and they're not willing to commit their life to the principles that govern entrepreneurship.
Yeah. I mean, like I've heard it from you in one of your earlier podcasts where you mentioned like fall in love in the process and forget about the fruit, which is exactly right to the point. Like love, enjoy the process and forget about the destination where you are craving for it so much. And you're like, becoming more sad just within the process itself.
That's right. Yeah. So I love fruit trees for that exact reason. I have a 23 acre hobby farm. I have 9 acres of cherry trees and I have 2.5 acres of black walnut trees. And then I have a variety of like single trees that we have in our garden. The thing I love about fruit trees is that when you grow a fruit tree, you begin to understand that it's not all about the fruit. You have to take care of the tree, right? You got to water it. You got to fertilize it. You got to trim it down, which we call pruning, and be able to create this amazing tree. And the beauty of a fruit tree is like, you can do everything possible, everything right in the process, right? All the fertilizer, all the water, all the sun, all the pruning. And then you can have bad weather that hits that you have no control over, right? Like there can be a late frost in the spring that ruins all your cherry buds or blossoms. You can have all these different things that are literally outside of your control. And then all of a sudden, either one, the tree doesn't produce fruit, or it produces bad fruit, right? And so even though you did everything possible, you didn't get the result that you were looking for. And for those that aren't committed to the process, right? Like those people that are 25 years old and wondering, like, why am I not a multimillionaire yet? They would be the type of person that would go to that fruit tree and actually chop it down and be like, the stupid tree doesn't produce fruit. Right.
Exactly.
Like, so I'm giving up on this. I'm going to go try something completely different. And I'm uncommitted because I didn't get the fruit. Just knowing that if they would have gone about it one more season, right, put in one more year of effort, the next year it would produce incredible fruit. And the year after that, it would produce incredible fruit. But they spent the first few years growing the tree and everything else. And then the year is supposed to be producing fruit. It didn't get the result they want. So I'm out. And so that's what I love that fruit trees teach me. And I think is like really like the greatest, I think nature is the greatest teacher of anything.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really a great analogy. The way that you actually mentioned is when we think about a tree who's actually growing stuff like that, you think patience with it. Like you're not expecting it to be like completely a grown tree in a days or so. So it takes months, and having that nourishment and all that, it requires more patience. Love it. So on the other side, since we talked about the culture, you've able to build a big team as well. So I'm always curious to know about from a people that I actually got on the show, how you actually build teams without losing your sanity and have that mental bandwidth.
First of all, the only way that you can build teams, you have to follow the law of management. The law of management states that you cannot manage more than 5 to 8 people. And so where people lose their sanity is when they try building a team and managing everybody. So they don't properly build a proper accountability chart or proper organizational chart. And so for me, understanding that rules and understanding the team dynamics of building culture and the team dynamics of like holding accountability with KPIs and proper standard operating procedures and having like the proper roles, responsibilities and the SOPs that are affiliated, and then how those people fit into the grand scale of the customer experience and the way how you define them winning at their job, right? And so, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that, but being able to get them in, build, have them catch the vision, have them properly managed, properly held accountable, properly fit into the organization, understand where they fit. And so, I mean, through that is the way that we were able to scale. You know, there was for several years in our business, we were growing at 300% a year. And what that meant, you know, the last year I was running the business, there was the most weeks we were bringing on 25 to 30 new people. And I was managing none of those people, right? Like those people just fit into the organization. You know, I was managing my top level executive team, and then they in turn had their divisional managers, and then they were managing their managers, right? And those managers had team leads, and those team leads had technicians within whatever department that they found themselves in. Just really creating good, solid business units, good, solid roles and responsibilities. Like that's the key to being able to scale and build large teams.
So having a right set of hierarchy as well, just to make sure that you don't lose your sanity, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. So you mentioned about your founder acceleration program or mastermind, which you actually mentioned that you're helping people build their cultures. Can you speak like a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I have a few different things that I offer to the marketplace. You know, I have my podcast that I run, the founder podcast, which
podcast.
You know, is free. It's a top 50 business podcast in the world right now. I do solo interviews, and then I interview some incredible founders. And then we have our paid program, which is the Founder Acceleration. It's kind of our entry level. People meet with us three times a month. So we do a big Zoom call, And we do an hour-long call where we hold people. We have challenges and we hold accountability, and then we teach on these different principles. There's the four. So I focus on what I call the founder's core. The founder's core are your personal core four and your business core four. The personal core four is you got to eat your peas every single day, and that's PEAS. So your physical, economic, association, and spirituality. And then in order to keep the fire burning in the business and always have the energy up, you got to feed the fire coal, and that stands for culture, offer, accountability, and leadership. And so those are the things that we focus on within the group, and we teach regarding each of those. We do hot seats of different business owners, and this is for anybody. I got people that are like 17 years old in this group, all the way to guys that are doing $100 million a year, and it's great accountability for anyone that's wanting to start a business, has started a business, is currently running a thriving business. It's a great check in. So we do it an hour a week, three times a month. And, we do live Q&As, and it's a great group. And the beauty of it's only $500 a month to be a part of that group. Super cheap. And I'm the one running those meetings. And so me, and I also have my team. I have guys that worked with me in building SoulGen that are now working over here with me in business partners in the business. And so we just have a super high level team that helps run these calls. And then over and above that, we do high-end masterminds where we do 3-day in-person events. They're fairly expensive. We charge $20,000 to $25,000 a ticket to come and be a part of that. And then our back end, really with anybody that likes being a part of the group or likes being a part of the mastermind and wants more one-on-one time, we consult for equity. So we help. Mm-hmm. We help build businesses. We team up and help scale and help identify blind spots and help you grow and prepare for exit and all the other things. And so that's kind of like the whole, what we're running with the Founder Project right now. Super excited, writing a new book right now. Like I said, it's called The Founder's Core. And so going to be releasing it. My goal is to have it ready to go March of 2024. So pretty excited with what we got going on there.
Wow, that's amazing. I will post up all the socials and all the resources in the description down below, also in the show notes. So on every stage, people can come in and check that out. I love your podcast. I know a lot of people out there in my audience also listen to your podcast as well, which is amazing. Well, Chris, I don't want to take a lot of your time. First of all, thank you so much. It was definitely an amazing conversation. Any last thing that you want to say before we round the show up?
No, if all I would say is for any young entrepreneur out there, just keep going. If whatever you're working on, it may not work out, but keep going. There's a door for you somewhere. And really my whole entrepreneurial journey is really just failure after failure until I finally found something that works, and then taking those lessons learned. And so I just wish you the best in doing the same.
Love it. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for watching, and we're definitely going to see you guys into the next episode. Until then, peace out.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Now, if you're someone who wants to interview these super successful entrepreneurs so that you can build multi-million dollar network alongside leveraging their audience as well, I've created a script that allowed me to book over $1 billion plus worth of entrepreneurs on my show, and you can get it free for now. So just go to billiondollarscript.com, and it's billiondollarscript.com. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review, and I will see you guys in the next one.